Welcome to Believers Chapel, folks. We're worshiping, we're a church. I believe God Almighty deserves to be worshiped because He is the I Am. Isn't it amazing when you get the proper picture of who God is in our little minds that we can? Can I dare tell you that my opinion doesn't matter? Can I tell you your opinion doesn't really matter? God has never asked your opinion, and He will not. Isn't it amazing that we come into seasons like this and we recognize in the very presence of God, if we truly believe that this is true, we recognize that He is so far above and so beyond anything that we could imagine. He has always been, He always will be. He has done what no one can do. He's doing what no one can do. And He knows more than we will ever know. Yet in our selfish stupidity, we come and we think that our opinion matters. It blows me away. And that we show our foolishness and our stupidity that we really don't have the proper picture of the I Am who I am. The Bible right picture of who He is, folks. We are in this series called God Meant What He Said. And if you're a first-time visitor, you've been here a few weeks, and you're just checking us out, we love you, man. We're so pumped that you're here. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday morning with us. Great service last night. Powerhouse, first service, and just an amazing, amazing 11 o'clock crew. Folks, I get the privilege to preach to hungry people week after week, and there's just nothing like it. It's incredible. And we're in this series that God meant what He said. Last week we talked about the new you is not about you. When we've come to understand that we live this surrendered life for Him, that it's not about you, your opinion, or your thoughts. It's about Him. We now breathe for Him. LivingOutTruth.com, you can see that last week. Powerful message about surrender. Man, I tell you what, as your pastor, we get into series like this. This series is going to challenge you. It is going to equip you. It might anger a few. Okay. I've been a police officer for 21 years. There's nothing you can say that will ever offend me. Someone told me once, if you really are serious about getting in the ministry, you better have the hind of a rhinoceros, and you better be prepared. You know what Paul says it at? I will not shrink back from teaching the whole purpose of God. Folks, we are at war, and we're in a serious battle for lives of people. And when we just get out of a worship set that is totally just focused on the great I Am and the King of Kings, man, we come to this, and do we realize that this is the absolute truth? If there's anything in our lives that is contrary to this, guess who's out of balance? Guess who's walking in disobedience? And this series, gang, this is going to equip you again. It's going to challenge you. It may fire you up to a point like, yes, finally, a church. Or it might anger you to a point where you want to find some wimpy-dimp little church who skirts issues. Go for it. Because we're not going to shrink back from preaching the whole purpose of God. And I tell you what, last night I was tired. Had a powerful service. Saturdays are long. And I was tired and I was so excited. I turned the Johnny Manziel off. And I just, the first time I got to actually watch him play football, I was excited. And I said, you know what, I get some sleep. I'm tired. So I turned it off, didn't finish the game. And you ever just lay in bed and you're thinking, would you please just fall asleep? I mean, right? You ever been there? You're tired, TV's off, it's dark, wife is snuggled up next to you. Would you please? All things are in line, man. Fall asleep. What is wrong with you? Well, 1:22, I get out of bed. And I could go down and I could put on ESPN to check my scores and watch some highlights of some football. But that's not why I was up. And I got into my place where I prayed, my face on my couch, begging God for today. 122, I am asking God, God, that you would move in our service. That God, we would recognize that you are the great I am. God, that we would have breakthrough in our services. God, we are very serious about your word. And we're serious about who you are, that you love us and care for us. And you are good for us. And God, that we would walk in a way that would honor and please you. And we would lay down our sin. And God, there would be breakthrough in our lives. And I tell you what, Ephesians 1:18. Man, I go over this and go over this and I go over this and I pray this and I pray this and I pray this because this is breakthrough, folks. If you've ever been there and you recognize what really takes place in this verse, that I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I'm praying this last night at 1:22 to about 2 o'clock. God, that you would move. God, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. God, that there would be something that takes place, that darkness would be removed and light would shine, that we would get it. God, we'd see it. God, that we would trust you. We'd recognize your word is exactly what you said it is. It is truth. And God, it's not to be taken away from. It's not to be added to. But God, your word is truth. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ever had that moment, folks, when you were just all of a sudden reading scripture, you hear a message or something takes place and bam, the Spirit of God shows up in such a power-packed way that from that moment on, you've never seen it the same since because the eyes of your heart, light has been shed on darkness and you are not the same. Folks, I'm begging God for breakthrough in this church and in your personal life and in your marriage and in any issue that we are dealing with, in the bondage that you may be in your struggle to actually believe this is true based on whatever bad influence you have in your life, based on some stupid research that you've done, based on believing in some stupid scientist that doesn't even believe that this is true. Gang, we're going to hit this thing and we're going to hit it hard because it's that real and it's that serious. That in our lives we would come to the place to understand God is right. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, come on. Two places this morning, please. Matthew 7, turn there and put a marker. And turn over to Psalms 40. Psalms 40, turn to Matthew 7, put a marker, and then turn over to Psalm 40. Amazing. Father, we thank you for this morning, God, just a powerful time in your presence, powerful time, God, now as we open your word, we know that it's true. And we know that, God, it's not up for negotiation. Your word is true, and you meant what you said. God, your word is inspired and breathed by your Holy Spirit that you spoke to the heart of man to write, and they wrote exactly what you had them write, God. And your word stands the test of time. And you said in Proverbs 30, if any man adds to it or takes away, they would be made out to be a fool. God, I love you and I thank you for the opportunity to preach this. God, I ask that, God, that our eyes would be open to see exactly what you need us to see. God, our ears would be open to hear. Clear them out, God, that we are all in. Father, focus is on you. Focus is upon your word. Our ears are clear to hear from you this morning, God. Your spirit move in this place by the reading of your word in a powerful, powerful way. That we are not here to play church. We are here to have an encounter with you, to hear your living word, and to walk out of this place transformed and different week after week after week. Father, thank you. Folks, I do ask that you would take it serious. Every week we come in and you ask, God, speak to me. Folks, I'm asking that you this morning would be very serious about that. God, speak to my heart this morning, because when you're serious about that, if God speaks something in your life that you don't like, how easy is it that we just check it off? But you're asking God, God, I'm hungry. I am here. I'm here for a purpose. Speak to me this morning. Speak into my heart by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So here I am on my face in the couch just crying out for you and for this church and for the leadership of this church and for this series and particularly this message. Man, then went to bed, slept for about 3 hours or so, got up at, I don't know, about two and a half, two hours and 45 minutes. Folks, we're ready for truth and we're ready for breakthrough. And in this, we have to understand that we're in a very real fight and a very real battle for truth. The enemy wants to come against truth, and he wants to lie to you, and he wants to deceive you, and he wants you to do anything except follow this. So it's up to you and me to recognize that this is truth. And we are Believers Chapel. We have stood our ground from before day one in our time of fasting, praying, and preparing that this church is Believers Chapel, where we live out truth. It's on all of our leader that we are known to live out truth. We recognize your word is truth, and that we will be a bunch who say yes. Come on, look at this. Isaiah verse 40. I'm sorry, Psalms verse 40. You can go to Isaiah, but I'm reading from Psalms. I want you to see this. I waited patiently for you. We'll start at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me to hear my cry. This is a psalm of David. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm, unshakable. Get this point. Unshakable when we're founded on the rock. Unshakable when the foundation on which we stand, which God declares, is a rock. Unshakable. Footsteps are firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and we will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. Verse 3, verse 4, the word trust. Highlight them. End of verse 3. And we will trust in the Lord. Verse 4, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse in falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none who will compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Thus I say, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. Verse 8, this is huge. I delight. Highlight that, please. I delight. It means it is my pleasure. It is my desire. And it is my pleasure. And I delight to do your will. I delight to do your... You know what we do when we do his will? It means we're walking in obedience, folks. It means that you and I recognize what God has said. What is the will of God? What does the scripture say about how we are to be as his followers, as his disciples? And we look at this, and David, a man after God's heart, says this: it is my desire. I am pleased to do your will. I have this joyful obedience, and it's based off of truth. Verse 3 and verse 4 declares what his obedience is based off of, and it's based off of trust. God, I trust you so much that I will obey you because you know what no one else knows. You know my direction. You know where I'm going. You know what's ahead for me. And God, I will willfully walk in obedience. It is my desire, not a slaved obedience with crack and whip, but it will be my delight. I am not forced to walk in obedience. God, when I recognize who you are and I understand what you've done for me on the cross through your son, Jesus Christ, it is my desire, it is my delight to willfully, by my choice, walk in obedience to you and to your word because I trust you. See, the first point, you got to have a understanding of his word, folks. You've got to recognize what God says about his word. How real God is about what he's putting on page for you and I. That this right here, Genesis to Revelation, it describes and declares that we have the ability to know God, and he's put everything on page for you and I to know him, to walk in relationship with him. This Bible is about Jesus. It's about the one who sent his son Christ to die on a cross for you and I, that you and I will be rescued and delivered from sin. And this right here is truth, and it's about him, and it's your opinion of what this book matters. It will make you or break you in your belief. Folks, the whole point to our obedience, obedience is the evidence of your belief. You can talk about it all day long. You can declare that you made a profession of faith all day long. The evidence, the proof of your true belief is your obedience. I want you to understand this from Scripture. I want you to recognize the very truth of God. This is what Jesus said in John 17, 17. This is what Jesus said about the Word of God. Jesus is crying out to the Father. Go through John 17. Powerful, powerful chapter. And I pray that our King is crying out to God, His Father, and crying out for the church. He's crying out for you and me. And this is what He says. God, sanctify them. Set them apart. In what? In truth. Christ is asking that the Father would set you and I, set us apart. God, that we would not be like the world. God, that we would be different from the world. God, that we would be sanctified. That we would be set apart by what? By truth. What separates you from the world? Truth. Well, what's He declare is truth? For your word is truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14, John 1 says, then the Word put on flesh. You know what truth is? It's Christ. You know what Christ is? The Word. Again, when you and I have this, and I'm serious about this, when you get this, when you understand the very real, inerrant, powerful, absolute truth of God's Word, and you align your life to the obedience of God's Word, everything changes because you recognize that we are set apart by truth. And what is truth? His Word. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of man, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. That word believe can be translated trust. New King James says it is effective to those who believe it. Please don't accept this as my word from a word of man. Please don't accept it as, well, it's just a bunch of men who wrote stories. It's just a bunch of men who wrote letters. And no, don't take it as that. Take it for what it really is. What do you accept the Word of God as, folks? Serious question. What do you accept this word as a man's word or for what it really is, the Word of God? And it will perform. It will be effective to those who trust it or believe it. Come on, Hebrews 4:12, powerful. Here's the power of the Word of God, folks. Here's how when you begin to understand and dive into Scripture, you begin to recognize, for the Word of God is living and active. That means powerful and active and effective, and it's alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Do you get this? It is alive and powerful. It is active and it is effective and it is sharp and it is piercing and it judges. Isn't this incredible that the Word of God, have you ever been to a place where you are reading Scripture and you're just involved and you're reading and then all of a sudden you come to the point when you're reading Scripture that it reads you like a book. That has the ability to discern and to judge your intention and your motive of your heart, of who you really are. And you're reading this and you're getting into this. All of a sudden, something just strikes you and God begins to just minister to you because the Word of God here has come alive to you and it begins to pierce and it begins to cut away sin in your life because you recognize for what it really is, the absolute very truth of God, God's Word for me, God on page for me, that I may know Him and trust Him and walk in obedience to Him. And there is a point when you begin to read the Scripture and then it reads you like a book. And then life at that point begins to change. Folks, that is the power of this word. We have a very fierce enemy who will do everything in his power to get you to buy into a lie that discredits the truth. Listen, people, we cannot turn a blind eye. I don't care how much somebody says something. I don't care how long they say it. If it is contrary to this, they can say it and they can say it and they can say it. I don't give a rip who says it. And I don't care how long they say it. If it's contrary to this, a lie is a lie. You've got to get that. You've got to understand it. Just because it's been around long enough and somebody says something that's contrary to this, that does not make it true. God's word cannot change because we have a God who cannot change, who cannot lie. And when you and I begin to recognize there's a very serious battle for this, right here, the truth of God's word, the enemy will do anything in his ability or his authority to try to discredit or get his little evil little foot in the door to make you come to this place to maybe just, maybe God didn't mean that, or maybe that's just old school, or maybe because it's deceptive. Folks, we got to recognize this. Now, come on, Matthew 7, please. We're going to get into this, and I'm going to show you through Scripture, through the Word of God, the evidence of your belief is your obedience. Because we do not have a right to say, oh, I belong to Jesus, and just do whatever we want to do. We don't have a right to say, I belong to Jesus, and I know that I'm secure in heaven for an eternity because I love Jesus, and then turn around and not call sin, sin. And say, oh, I can do whatever I want to do. And God's okay with that because I'm His. No, Jesus has a lot to say about that. And that is a lie that the enemy has brought into the church. We're going to read some scripture, folks. Please get this. Please hear this. This is not for the true disciple, the true follower, born-again believer who struggles with his sin, who calls it sin, who is quick to repent, who's quick to recognize, I need to get back in line with Jesus. Jesus put himself on a cross for this. The blood of Christ has covered this. Jesus has set me free from this. I am not going to walk in bondage to this anymore. This is not what it's talking about. It's to those who try to confess Christ as Lord and stiff-arm God and stiff-arm His Word to say, I'll live my life, but yet I'm going to belong to Jesus. That's actually here. From God in the flesh in Christ. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Isn't it amazing? We so easily go over Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth, Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you shall be saved. And that's all they say about that verse until you really get into a deep study of that verse. Confess with your mouth. That word confess means I am making an agreement. I'm coming to this place to make a commitment, to make a vow, to make an agreement, a covenant that He is Lord, that He is King, that He is Master, that He is Sir, that He is Divine. And we come to this place to make this agreement with the Lord, that You are Lord, and I submit to You, and I come under Your direction, and I now belong to You. I take a knee, and I take a knee before You. As You are, I recognize, and I confess, and I recognize, and I make a covenant. I recognize, and I make a commitment that You are the King, that You are Divine, that You are Lord, that You are Master, and You are Sir, and I give my life to You. That's what that means. And yet we come to Matthew 7, and this is the words of Christ. Could you imagine Jesus speaking these words? This is what keeps me up at night, folks. Because I stand before You as Your pastor and I have to preach truth. There is no room for failure in this, folks. There is no room for me to stand before You and not give You the full purpose of God. There's no room that You would one day stand before God and say, no one ever told me. I went to church all my life and I never heard that. That's not going to be on me. I'm up at night going, God, that they would get this, please. God, that they would see this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father will enter. Folks, that screams obedience. Lip service is not going to cut it. Going to church, raising your hands, not going to cut it. Coming to a place and say, well, I worship God, not going to cut it. Who enters? Gang, this isn't for the agnostic. He's not speaking to the atheist. He's speaking to those who've come to a point of belief that He is Lord. But they refuse to obey. But he who does the will of My Father who is in heaven will enter. Many Look at this. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons. In your name perform many miracles. This is what we've done, and we did it not of ourselves, but we did it for you. Probably the most chilling words in Scripture come next. Then I will declare to them. Folks, this is an absolute guarantee of what's going to take place. For those who refuse to walk in obedience. For those who think, well, I can come to Christ on my terms. Jesus himself said there will be many who will stand before him and declare, I have done this, and I have done that, and I have done that, and it's been done in your name. And then the shot comes next where he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. You worker of iniquity, you're one who practices lawlessness. You who stiff-armed truth and believe that you can do this on your terms and you can come your way because you bought into some lie and you bought into some deception. Or you've done some stupid research. You've bought into some scientist. You bought in. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now look at this, please. I want you to see this. Again, the evidence of your belief is obedience. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Folks, if you truly believe in the Son, you know what comes next? Your obedience. If you believe in the Son, you'll walk in obedience, because if you believe in the Son and don't walk in obedience, you're surface level and you bought into a lie. Bible says, if you don't obey the Son, you'll not see life. So obedience and belief are hand in hand. Look at this, John 8. And he spoke these things to many. Look at this. He spoke these things and many came to believe in him. Wow. Awesome. We had 400 people saved. You ever hear people just begin to brag about numbers of people being saved? And then Jesus, he is speaking. He's speaking with authority that they've never heard before. He's speaking with a passion that is unmatched. And the Bible says that many came to believe him. And then the Son of God then flips it and begins to clarify true believers. Now look at this. And Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, could you imagine? Many just came to believe him. And then Jesus begins to break it down. He says this, if you continue in my word, if you will walk in obedience is the key. If you walk in obedience, then you are truly disciples of mine. Please don't misunderstand this. We are not saved by obedience. We are not saved by works. We are saved by his grace, and we are saved through our faith and our belief. But if it's true confession of faith, obedience will be there, folks. Please, that's absolutely true. We are not in a systematic, traditional religion. We are in a relationship, and every relationship takes trust. And when you walk in trust, you'll walk in obedience. And he says this. You know what he says? There's really three groups. The agnostic and the atheist who just reject God and stiff-arm him. And there's those who are surface level, lip service only. Who think they come to him on their own terms. And then there are those who walk in obedience. Who are saying, I came to you originally on your terms and I'm going to stay on your terms. He says, those are the true disciples of mine. Then he says this is great. This is the good news, folks. Let me give you some good news. You ready for some good news this morning? Matthew 7:24 says this. This is powerful. This is great. Please don't miss this. Therefore, everyone, man, I am begging God that includes you. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. Look at where obedience. Obedience is before the depart from me, for I never knew you. And then obedience is after the depart from me, for I never knew you. And he gets into this. For those who hear these words of mine. These words of mine, the absolute very word of God, the word that is the truth, the word that is active and effective, the word that is piercing, the word that is sharp, the word that can judge your heart, the word that is effective to those who believe it. Not man's word, but the word of God. These words, the words of mine, those who hear this and are obedient to it and act on it. Look what he compares us to. This is incredible. Look at this. This is great. I compare it to a wise man who built his house on the rock. What's he referencing the rock? Jesus, who is the Word who is Christ. And you and I would build our foundation of who we are in him very much on the absolute basis and foundation of Christ, his Word, which is the rock. Look at the promise here, gang. This is amazing. This is what he says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, acts on them, maybe compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall. It did not. Why? Because you understood, and you're acting on obedience, and you're basing your complete whole being on the very word of God, which is the rock. And Jesus says, for everyone who does that, let the wind come, let the waves come, let it slam against your house. For when the dust settles, and the wind stops, and the storm stops, you're the house. You're the one who will stand strong. You're the one with your sword in hand. You're the one who's ready to go forward. You're the one who's ready to fight the fight, because you cannot fail and you cannot fall when you understand the absolute reality of what Jesus says for you and I to live his word and to live our truth and to recognize that this is real and that you and I to act on it, hear it, accept it, act on it, live it, breathe it as the rock. And the Bible says the wind comes and the waves come and the rain come and slams against your house. Gang, every one of us has gone through seasons of life, some more severe than others. The Bible says if you go through a season of life, the wind has come, the rain has come, and the waves are fierce, and it just keeps hitting, and it keeps hitting, and it keeps hitting, and it keeps hitting. And if you're founded on the Word of God, when the wind dies out, look what it says. You will not fall. Why? Because your foundation has been on the rock. You have ditched public opinion. You have ditched worldview. You have ditched any other idea that is contrary to this. And you put yourself so solid and so firm on this because of your relationship and your trust relationship with God. Now, based on that relationship, you say, I will obey. And when the seasons of life come, when the winds come, when the waves come, and they slam, and they slam, and they slam, Jesus says you will not fall. Jesus says you will remain standing, and you will remain firm-footed when we're founded on the rock. And he says this, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, who are disobedient, who think they come to him on their terms, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against the house, and it fell. And it was a great fall. Folks, please hear this. When you recognize really who God is in your world, and you recognize that your opinion really doesn't matter, and you come to grips with the very fact that God meant what he said when he's talking the seriousness of obedience and what it is to obey, and if you stand firm in your obedience on Christ, who is the rock, the Word of God, who is Christ, who is the rock, in your seasons of difficulty, you will remain standing, folks. And there is amazing reward to obedience. For you don't know your tomorrow. You don't know where you're going to be. You do not know what God knows about your tomorrow. You look at Noah. God told him to build a boat. Didn't know what a boat was. Never seen a boat. God said it's going to rain. Didn't know what that was because it's never rained. You know what Noah did? He built a boat because he walked in obedience out of a reverence and a fear of God. Guess what? If Noah walked in disobedience, what would have happened? All mankind would have been wiped out, folks. Because of his obedience, we exist. Abraham walked in obedience of God. God told him to go. Abraham, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, and you're going to be the father of many nations. And based on what Abraham walking in his obedience, God Almighty created a chosen people from Israel, named through Abraham. These are the very chosen people of God because Abraham decided to walk in obedience, and God created a great nation through Abraham, powerful through obedience. You look at Moses standing at the bush where God is speaking to Moses. Go to Pharaoh. Tell him to release my people. I see their suffering. I see how he treats them. I see how he's come against them. You go tell him that I am told you to release the people. And he said, listen, I stutter. I don't talk right. What are you talking about? Moses goes. He goes again and he goes again. And Pharaoh releases God's people to not be in captivity because Moses was obedient. Gang, we can come to this place and get to this place that we know that God is calling us. We know that God is calling us to walk in obedience. We know that God is calling us to let go of sin. We know that God is calling us to say, yes, God, I see in your word. God, I got to follow this. And we walk in this place and we freeze because we just don't know what's next. Well, it's got to be your understanding that God knows what you don't know. Then we get to this place of Gideon, who God said, cut your army down. Yes, sir. Cut your army down again. Yes, sir. 300 versus thousands. Victory. Because he walked in obedience. Then you get to Esther. Walked in obedience. Victory. And saving a nation. You get to Mary. Be it done to me according to your word. Obedience. Gave birth to the Son of God. And then you get to Jesus. Not my will, but Father, your will be done. Obedience, folks, has set us free forever. Bow your heads, please. Folks, please hear this. God meant what he said. Where is your obedient level today? Seriously. And I'm here today to beg you, please. If it is this surface level, lip service only, but you feel like you can do what you want to do, man, I'm telling you, please turn from that. Please turn from that. I do not want to be a part of that many that stand before Christ on Judgment Day where I hear those awful, horrendous words, depart from me, for I never knew you. But God, I want to walk in absolute, straight obedience, taking you at your word, that you meant what you said, and I will walk in obedience to you. Folks, again, this is not the message for the people who truly, truly are his disciples and followers, and you have been dealing with some type of sin, you've been dealing with some type of bondage, but you constantly come back and you repent, and you know that it's sin, and you're calling it sin, and you're getting before God over and over and over, knowing that God will forgive you, knowing that God puts it in the deepest part of the sea, knowing that God puts it behind him, knowing that God removes it as far as the east is from the west. Gang, that shows humility. That shows one who recognizes I am in sin, and God, you can forgive me because I belong to you, and I'm walking in obedience, God, asking you to forgive me of my sin. Folks, there's going to be a message in this series. God meant what he said about forgiveness. And we're going to see this amazing, incredible God. That you and I would see the picture. That God has forgiven you. But that is another day. Father, we just ask in this moment Father, you have total access to our hearts right now. You have total access to who we are. God, that you would come in with your word and begin to cut and begin to pierce. Because we know that you are for us. We know that we can trust you. And we know that when the dust settles, God, we will stand with sword in hand, dusting ourselves off, ready to go again. Because we are founded on the rock. Lord, we love you so much. If we could just stand to our feet, please, as Brendan closes us out with a song, I'm just asking you, as God has spoke to you this morning, and I believe that he has, in any of that, I'm asking that you, in this song, in your seat, right where you're at, just say, God, you got total access. And from this day forward, I walk in obedience, not my opinion, not worldview, not the influence in my life. God, I walk under your obedience. And you walk out of this place different from when you came in this place. Folks, that's church. Come on.
When the ground beneath my feet gives way and I hear the sound of crashing waves, all my world is washing out to sea. I'm hidden safe in the God who never moves, holding fast to the promise of your truth, that you are holding tighter still to me. The rock won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. Oh, the rock won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock of our salvation. Hope is in the promise of your blood, my support within the raging flood. Even in the tempest, I can see. I'm hidden safe in the God who never moves, holding fast to the promise of your truth, that you are holding tighter still to me. Oh, and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock won't move and his word is strong. The rock won't move and his love can't be undone. The rock of our salvation. Oh, oh. Stand, all other ground is sinking sand. The rock won't move, no, the rock won't move. And when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. The rock won't move, no, the rock won't move. And Christ the solid rock I stand. Unchanging grace, the rock. His word is strong. The rock won't move and His love can't be undone. The rock of our salvation.